In the name of Jesus, amen. I absolutely love this day and this text. How beautifully it gives us commentary then, our Lord's own commentary on His own death and what it means. It is a service to us. He takes off His garments, similar to that on the cross when His garments are stripped from Him. And He takes on the form of a servant in this way. And that is His death. His death is of service. He is stripped that we might be clothed. He is pierced that we might be washed. And so we find Him here, taking off His garment, wrapping it around Himself, washing His disciples' feet. And it is this beautiful scene, and yet the disciples don't get it, right? Can't fault them for it. We wouldn't either. He says, What am I doing now? You don't understand, but you will know after this. And I don't think they really get it until after the resurrection. Jesus takes the posture here of servitude. And of course, it's of His death, but also, as we understand, the Lord's Supper. It is Christ's service to us. And that's what I love about this day, is how much it focuses our attention on understanding what Christ is doing in the church today. As it was then, so it is now. He serves us. And thus, we call it not a worship service, though it's fine. We can use that in some context. But primarily, we call our services divine service. That is, God's service to us. Now, there are Christians in the world who hate this idea that Christ, who is in heaven, would come down, in a sense, come down and serve us. No, He would dirty Himself with that kind of service. The Lord wouldn't dirty Himself in that way. How dare you Lutherans say such things? Well, I don't say it. That's what the Lord says. That He continues to come and serve us. To love us through His Word and His Sacrament. To wash us and make us clean and to feed us with His very own body and blood. It is His service to us. The Christians who spurn this reality are like Peter here, and they say to the Lord, Lord, are You washing my feet? Lord, are You serving me through Word and Sacrament? May it never be. It is I who come here to worship You. And yet You serve me? No, never. What does the Lord say to Peter? If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. So Peter goes on the opposite direction. Oh, wash me completely. Wash everything. Right? We can't tell the Lord how He's to serve us. He just does it the way He has been commanded by His Father to do. And so we see Him here and correcting Peter. No, Peter, I'm going to do it the way that I'm supposed to. You are completely clean. My word which I spoke to you has made you clean. That pierced side of our Lord, which is pierced on Good Friday, that blood and water flow forth, the forgiveness of sins. He washes us in baptism. By it we are completely clean. And yet we continue in this world, constantly coming back to the church to be washed by His word. Our feet need to be washed. We dirty them as we go about our days. We need to continue to be forgiven, to be cleansed and nourished. To be reminded of things which have already happened, yes, but also things which happen again and again for us. This is our Lord's service. And so we come to this word of tonight. We find uttered many times over now, do this in remembrance of me. And the Peters who don't get this think that this remembrance is something we're doing. We're remembering Jesus. We're transporting our minds back 2,000 years and remembering what He did on the cross. And that's it. So let's eat and drink doing that. A memory. Like remembering what you had for breakfast. Okay, and maybe having a little bit of leftovers. Right? That is not exactly what's going on. Of course, we are remembering what our Lord did, but it's not that we're going back in time to participate there in some kind of just spiritual sense. No, it is the Lord Himself who's bringing the fruits of that cross, the very body and blood which He gave and shed on that cross. He's bringing that through time and space, 2,000 years to us today, to eat and drink of His body and blood now, in our time. It's His service. It's His remembrance. And there is a way you can translate the Greek of this: do this in my remembrance. Very strange way of speaking, but it's His remembering. So who's doing the remembering? It's the Lord. And He's bringing that remembrance Himself to us and bringing us to recall these things as He gives us of His Spirit, who reminds us of all things which the Lord has given and said to us. It's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's work, and it is marvelous in our eyes, says the psalmist. And as you said earlier today, so it is true as well with the Lord's Supper. It's His work. It's His remembering. And God be praised that He makes us participants of this blessed meal. This has a great impact on us in our lives. The Lord doesn't just say, I baptized you once, and I'm going to continue to remind you that you're baptized. That back then, He says, you are baptized. He doesn't just say, I love you once. But He continues to say, I still love you. I forgive you once. No, I still forgive you. I forgive you. So every time it's uttered, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's a remembrance of your baptism. But yes, at the same time, it is a speaking of it again to you. And this impacts our life and how you talk with your wife or your husband. You say, I love you. And that is a remembrance of the vow you took at your wedding. I said it once, I never need to say it again. But every time you say it, in abiding in that vow, you're saying it in real time. I love you. Over and over and over and over and over again, meaning it in full every single time. So it is as the Lord calls us together as His bride. He speaks His love to us real time, real place. I love you. Over and over and over again. The psalmist says, my cup overflows. I was getting an energy drink yesterday. It's Holy Week after all. Got to get going, right? I was getting an energy drink yesterday up at the gas station up here up the road, up 9th. And there they have these big, big drums for the downspouts. And it's filling up. It started to warm up, yesterday and the day before. So all the snow is melting off, and it's just full. It's just spewing water all over the place. And I was like, that's it right there. My cup overfloweth, right? He gives us more than we need. And so much love that it overflows unto others. And this is the last point I want to make tonight. He says, love one another as I have loved you. That is not a monkey see, monkey do. Here's the example. Be perfect as I am perfect. No. Love one another as I have loved you is to say, be filled with His love, so much so that it overflows unto others. So abide in that love, and thus you shall love others. You cannot do it otherwise. So by faith, to be filled to the brim, to have that love overflow into the lives of others, to lay down your life as Jesus lays down His life for us, to lay down your life for others, to love even your enemies as the Lord loves you. When I teach on this, I like to say, you are what you eat. And back when I was a kid watching a little kid's TV show, someone that ate a lot of carrots, they turned orange. It happens. It really does, right? You can turn orange that way. Your skin can. Or this guy who put colloidal silver all over his skin, he turned blue. Like he was on Oprah back in the day. So anyway, you are what you eat, right? And why I love talking about that, I talk about that with the Lord's Supper. You are what you eat. This is the sacrifice of Christ for you, His very body and blood. And by participating in it, you yourselves become a sacrifice unto others. Paul will even go so far as to say, I pour myself out unto you. I'm being poured out for you as an offering, as a sacrifice. So it is in our lives. We participate in this love. We receive this love. It fills us completely. Gives us faith in Christ and nourishes us in the forgiveness of sins and salvation. And it flows out of us unto others that we become sacrifices unto them. And that is the Christian life. And it is why we say in the end of the Lord's Supper, in our post-communion collect, we ask for God's mercy and grace that in the same we may have faith towards Him and fervent love toward one another. It's two parts here. to be filled with faith in God, to be strengthened in that faith, and receive in this meal the love necessary for one another. The love you need for your spouse, for your kids, for that jerk at work, that boss you don't want to talk to. How do you draw and drum up this love? God gives it to you. And that is love by which we love one another. So let us keep this Maundy Thursday in truth and purity and receive from our Lord His divine servants, His divine service in which He remembers His great mercy and work for us on the cross and fills it up in us and permits us to participate in it in the communion of saints and angels, that we may be filled with His love and love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.